What up, everybody? Welcome to Ambiance Podcast. My name is Levi, your host, and this is episode 63 with Riza Clave, who is a fashion designer, creative director, seamstress, pattern maker, photographer, brand consultant, and event coordinator. She does a whole lot of things, and the amazing part about it is she is self-taught. She has an amazing story about how she really built a brand for herself and started from the bottom up. Being born in the Philippines, she was very limited with the amount of resources that she has, which is why she takes emphasis on giving back to the youth and people who are up and coming in her industry, because she never had those resources, so she wants to provide those for other people. She really is a genuine soul, and I'm excited to present this episode to you guys. So let's get into it. Here's episode 63 of Ambiance Podcast with Riza Clave.
Hello, everyone. This is Riza Clave, and you are now listening to Ambiance Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Ambiance Podcast. I got a very special guest sitting to the right of me. Her name is Riza Clave, and she is a designer based out of Los Angeles currently, but from San Diego, right?
Yes.
Awesome. We mentioned off camera that you just moved to Los Angeles back in January, right?
Yes. So I moved here at the end of January, and it's been great so far.
It's been great so far?
Yeah.
What was the deciding factor for your move out here?
So it was actually random. So me and my roommate, Rowan, we were going to move here in April. Mm. But then we were jokingly looking at apartments, and we fell in love with one. So we're like, well, let's just move.
Wow. So it was that spontaneous.
That was it. Yeah.
That's cool that you have a friend that's down to make a spontaneous move that fast, you know?
Yeah. Well, because we've been wanting to move out here since last year. But since COVID happened, we just took a pause of it. And then when I also met D-Smoke, I felt that I needed to move out here because he wanted me to work in his team. So.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So there's just a lot of opportunity out here. So it kind of just made sense for you, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah. And obviously you're most well known as a designer, but you're involved in a lot of other creative mediums as well, right? What are some of those other creative mediums?
Yeah. So I'm more involved in like the community aspect as well. So doing mentorship and sponsorship program for the youth and women and artists in San Diego and Philippines.
Okay.
But besides that, I'm more of like a custom-made designer, photographer, pattern maker, a lot of things.
So let's start from the beginning. What did you really learn first? So what did you get into first as far as creative arts?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Philippines and then moved out here when I was 12. But when I was 9 years old, my grandmother actually taught me how to sew. She was a seamstress and an entrepreneur back in Philippines. And then my dad was a civil engineer, and so he taught me how to sketch.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was like the first thing.
So your parents were kind of involved in the creative world already, and that they kind of introduced you to it.
Yes. So my dad was a civil engineer. So
right.
He was involved in the more creative scene, architecture, and doing community work.
Got it. Yeah. So obviously that had a huge influence on what you're doing now.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's a difference between like what got you interested into like designing and what mm-hmm. got you hooked, right? Because mm-hmm. what got you interested could have been a lot different than what got you hooked, and what got you hooked could have been like, wow, like I really want to do this for like the rest of my life, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what got me hooked is when nothing ever fits me because I'm so petite and tiny. So then that got me hooked to where, you know, a lot of women, we all have different body sizes.
Yeah.
So that made me want to create an outlet and use designing as to, you know, just give them confidence.
Okay.
On that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I mean, generally, like when you go to like any typical like fashion store or outlet store, mm-hmm. it's just like sized to like.
Yeah.
Mannequins, you know, right?
Yeah, mannequins, models, but like for me, it's like I would want to design for people,
right?
For different sizes, for not average, but for the real type of person, you know.
So is that why you kind of chose the path of like custom design pieces rather than like maybe going down a traditional route to be a designer for like a specific brand or company?
Yeah. And first off, like, I don't really like mass producing. I like customizing clothes because I feel like that's how you express your art, express yourself even better,
right?
Rather than like picking out clothes at a store,
right,
where there's multiple copies of it. So you don't really get to express who you truly are, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, that definitely does. So I saw also on your website that you're self-taught, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how did that process work, like self-teaching yourself? Because I feel like everybody that's self-taught has a different process.
Yeah, well, throughout middle school and high school, I was, I had the opportunity to like dive or explore my creativity through designing prom dresses, gowns, and wedding dresses. But then after high school, I took more like a traditional route and pursued a career in the dental industry.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it took a whole another turn. But throughout my dental career, I still did photography and designing on the side, but okay, didn't really like take it as a full time.
It was just one of your like side hobbies at that time?
Yeah.
What made you want to get into dentistry? Did you think that, like, was it like a societal pressure that pushed you to that?
Well, yeah. Growing up in a Filipino, very traditional Filipino family, didn't think art, or you cannot make a career through art.
Yeah.
So dental career is more like more safety and having more stable income.
Yeah.
And then after high school, you know, my dad was diagnosed with stage 4 lung and brain cancer, so
oh,
I
wow.
needed something like something stable.
Yeah.
And yeah, stable job where I can help out my family.
Yeah, so that's what influenced your career move at that point in your life.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
At this point you're trying your hand at dentistry because obviously that's like the safe choice.
Mm-hmm.
How long was it that you were going down that path of trying to be a traditional dentist versus you kind of diving into the passion? Yeah.
Yeah. So I was in the dental industry for about 5 years. And then after in 2018, when my dad passed away, he made me promise him to go deeper in designing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it took a lot of toll on me. So then, like, by 2019, I finally quit my 9-to-5 job, and I was like, all right, well, fuck it. Let me just do designing because life is too short.
Yeah, that's dope. So it's a way to honor your father as well.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And also, like, dive into your passion.
Yeah, because he was like, well, you don't have to take care of me no more, so I want you to take care of yourself.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Was it scary for you when you first made that transition?
At first, yes, because having a dental or 9-to-5 job is like a routine. So breaking out of that in the beginning, it was like how do I start?
Yeah.
Like, I have so much time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
what do I do with my time?
You're used to routine and schedule.
Yeah.
And now, like, you have all this free time. So
with
that being said, did you kind of use that routine and schedule process and transition that to your creative art, where it's like you started to build a routine for
mm-hmm.
designing? And
yeah.
Photography?
So I have, like, a daily routine where, like, so it's just so I would stay grounded, and so I have a daily routine of waking up in the morning, reading, and then meditating and all that. And then after that, I jump into designing, but I have to do those first before doing anything else.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Did you learn that along the way, or did you start doing that from the beginning? You wasn't always like that?
No, it wasn't always like that. It was always been, yeah, it has always been like that. I've always, like, waking up at 6:30 or 6 a.m. in the morning and then started my day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, grounding yourself and meditating,
mm-hmm.
when did you start incorporating that in your routine?
Oh, 2018.
Oh, 2018,
yeah.
After your father passed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what influenced you to kind of start your day like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Start my day, just stay grounded, and then not lose myself.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. During this time when you were trying to pursue a dentistry career, how many hours were you putting into your side hustle, whether it was for designing or for photography?
I always made sure that I do 2 hours of sewing every day.
At least 2 hours?
Yeah, that was like my strict rule for myself. Like, I need to sew, I need to draw at least 2 hours every day.
What was the reasoning behind that?
Because, you know, the whole, you have to put in 10 hours.
Oh, yeah, 10 work. Hours.
So I was like, well, I'm going to put in at least 2 hours.
Yeah.
Of my, what, you're awake for what, 14 hours a day? So at least, one-seventh of the day.
Yeah, which can be difficult because you're putting in all these hours at work, which takes a lot of your energy.
Yeah, and it drains me too. So I find peace and grounding and I find more joy in creating. So then after work, if I am stressed, then I jump into sewing or sketching. It just brings me back to why I'm doing it.
Yeah. So it wasn't as much of like something that you had to do, but something that like you looked forward to doing after like a long day of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it brings me peace. So.
Yeah. So it's so awesome that now you get to do that for a living.
Yeah.
So do you feel like a big difference in your just general life and like happiness, being that you kind of experienced that like 9-to-5 job, and now you're living your passion and you're walking in your truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying that 9-to-5 is bad, because 9-to-5 has helped me fund whatever I'm doing now. You know, 9-to-5 has, like, whatever I learned from my 9-to-5 job, I'm relating it to the business aspect of my designing career. So, like, the whole back end of it, like, the whole expenses, spreadsheets, and all that.
Mm.
Negotiating with clients, like, that's all my dental career. Like, it goes back full circle.
So it still served you.
Yeah, it still serves me. And then,
Yeah, that's tight that you kind of get to take some qualities from that lifestyle. You're not just, like, viewing it as, like, a waste of time, per se, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, going back to the being self-taught, what are some, some things that you did to kind of teach yourself in the designing realm?
I mean, YouTube.
YouTube, a lot of YouTube.
YouTube University.
Yeah.
It's just been there, and you pretty much just, I don't know, I found everything on YouTube. If not YouTube, it was Skillshare. If not that, then just buying my own sewing machine and learning how to do it.
Really, just trial and error?
Yeah. Just making all the mistakes that I can make and learn from that.
Got you. This is kind of related to that, but I was going to ask you, what advice you'd have to like young creatives who are just kind of starting off, whether it's like specifically in design or just in general, who like may not know where to start. Like maybe they want to start in photography, design, or music, and they don't know what to do. What would you say to somebody like that who's watching?
I would say find a mentor or just ask for help, or because everything is in front of you. All the resources is in front of you. You just need to ask for help or just search for it. I think having a mentor will help you a lot.
Did you have a mentor?
Yeah, I mean, I would say they are my mentor, even if they are my friends. So I have a few mentors, but they're not in designing or not in the clothing business. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So you being from like San Diego, how did you make so many connections out here in LA?
Just being friends with people, I guess, networking, going to events. Photography helped me a lot. Being a photographer for Fly Girls LA and Love Made, that gave me a lot of connections too. Just being a friendly person, I guess.
Yeah,
and just nurturing all my friendship and relationship.
Yeah, that's important. I could tell you're a very genuine person too. Like, I feel like when you have genuine intentions, it's like not so much as you forcing relationships on somebody because you can see it benefiting yourself. It's just like you genuinely want to make a relationship with somebody. If something comes out of it, that's great. But if not, that's cool too. And that's like the best way to make a relationship, right?
Yeah. And especially if like, say, if it doesn't align with who you are and your values in life, then I mean, I wouldn't be interested on you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have you experienced that before where it's just like maybe you wanted to work with somebody or you could have made a networking opportunity with somebody, but like you just didn't like really like fuck with them.
Yeah, so or get along. Not so much like not getting along, but more of like a business aspect of it too. Sometimes you just gotta feel it out, feel out the energy of who they are and what they stand for. And if they don't, again, don't align with who you are, then I'm just gonna treat it as business. It's just a good paycheck.
And yeah,
that's it. I probably wouldn't put them like on blast on my social media or anything. I'll put them on my resume, but yeah.
Yeah, more times than not, though, you probably would say that like a lot of the people you work with, you do end up developing good friendships with. Would you say that?
Yeah, I'm very selective of who I work with because it represents who I am and reflects who I am as a person and as an artist. So. Yeah.
And something you mentioned earlier was like the community aspect of what you do. So I know that you do a lot of charitable work as well, right? So talk about the importance of that for you and some of those projects that you work on.
Yeah. Right now, Wiriza was able to branch out and create Create to Inspire, which is our mentorship and sponsorship program in Philippines and San Diego. I created that because, you know, growing up, I never had the resources that I need, and I've never had the opportunity to explore my creativity. Or as growing up in a in Filipino culture, a traditional Filipino family, they never really taken art as a serious career.
Right.
So I felt the need to create opportunity to the youth or the kids now, because I feel that there's so many talented kids, but they just don't know where to start.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to be able to guide them.
Got you. And resource is so important, like you said, like especially when you're financially restricted, to be able to get those resources yourself.
Yeah.
It's like you can have all the ambition and drive to want to do something, but sometimes if the resource isn't there, it's like, what can you do?
It's so unmotivating. Like, it's sad.
Yeah.
You know?
And you said you went through that when you were growing up too, right? Did you like not have a lot of money when you were growing up and you had to kind of find your, like a way to get resources or?
Yeah. I grew up in a very, I would say, poor family. You know, I built myself up from scratch. So I know how it feels without or not having anything. Growing up in Philippines where the roads are still dirt. Like, with that, it humbles me too, to like live a simple life. But it humbles me, and I am grateful when I do have things that I can work with.
Yeah, do you think that plays a part too with the creative aspect of things? Because when you don't have anything, you kind of learn to be resourceful and you learn how to be more creative, because you know what it's like to not have nothing but still need to create, right?
Yeah, you make it work. You make whatever's in front of you, make it work, and that's how you become creative.
Yeah, so you definitely take that with you today, right?
What
is your whole creative process like when you're from like kind of like start to finish, when you want to design a piece? I know every situation is different, every client's different, but it's like, what inspires the work, and how do you execute the work?
What inspires the work is knowing the client or my person's story or my client's story, who they are and who they stand for. And then I ask them, so we go through like a consultation process where I get to know who they are as a person. And if it aligns with who I am as a designer, then I'll go for it. But if it's not, then we'll go through a consultation. I'll ask them of like what they're comfortable with, who, like what type of concept they want to execute. And then after that, the process begins. And I would create a mood board and create like a few sketches for them to pick. And if there are any adjustments, then I'll make it. And then after that, if I get the approval, I'll just make it.
Oh, that's dope. So is there a difference between you like creating for a client versus you kind of designing for maybe just a personal piece that you want to create and put out into the world? Like what's the difference in the process?
Like creating for a client and creating for myself. Creating for a client, it's more of like compromising and collaboration, which I really love, because I get to see their perspective and share their story while I share mine too. And with creating my own project, it's more of like voicing out and being more vocal about my story and sharing my story to the world.
Right. So that's awesome that you like to be more collaborative with that process. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned storytelling as well. I know that's one of like the main pillars of your brand is storytelling. Mm-hmm. So I know how storytelling works from my end because it's like I'm sharing your story. How does that sharing stories work through like your art, whether it's designing or whether it's photography? Like, how does that process work for you?
Yeah. I just feel that me telling my own story, feel that it will inspire someone inspire someone to keep going, create. So
yeah, so you it's cool that you can like tell a story though through like designing, you know what I mean? Because sometimes it's hard for people to wrap their heads around the fact that like a piece of clothing is also telling a story, you know what I mean, to people. But that is the case with what you do, you know what I mean? And that's why you do it.
Yeah.
Transitioning a little bit to your brand, it's WeRiza, right?
Yes.
What started that, and when did you start the process of creating that?
Yeah. Well, when I was 21, I did try to launch it, but then they weren't getting my aesthetic and my perception. So then I was like, well, let me take a break and not take this seriously. So in 2016, I relaunched it. And I guess like photography helped me to show the people how I see things.
Okay.
So yeah, so 2016, I relaunched WeRiza, and that's how it started. It was more of a cut and sew brand rather than a designer or a garment production company.
And today, what does it entail?
Right now, it's actually transitioning to a garment production company. So more of like a cut and sew production company.
Okay, and that's where you want it to be, right?
I mean, I wasn't dreaming about it. I was dreaming about it like 10 years from now, but it's here now.
But it's happening now.
Yeah, so now I'm building a team of... Oh, wow. Building a team, training women to become seamstress and designer so that they could be on WeRiza.
Wow. So where do you find these trainees?
They just reach out to me.
Oh, that's dope.
And I'm like, oh, I want you to be a mentor. And I was like, yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah. So you're actually like, you're walking the walk. You're not just talking talk. Because you mentioned earlier how it's just like, well, what advice would you have to upcoming creatives? Mm-hmm. And you mentioned reaching out to people for mentorship, and it's dope to know that you're accepting people as being their mentor and actually like doing that, practicing it, you know?
Yeah, so I have four right now, and then in July we're actually partnering with Helix High School and doing a summer camp for the kids.
Oh wow, that's exciting.
Yeah,
that's so really dope that you're doing
a lot of cut and sew.
Is there like a passion that you find in teaching other people how to do your art too? Do you find that like fulfilling?
Yeah, like I mean, fashion designing is cool, but that wasn't like my long-term goal. My long-term goal has always been like working and teaching kids, so I'm jumping into that.
Yeah, now. And you didn't take any classes for this at all, right?
No.
that's crazy too, because you didn't take any classes for it, and B, you're actually teaching this to people. Yeah. Like, who want to learn how to do it, and you're self-taught with everything that you do.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll learn through the way, but I'm glad that there are friends out there or in my inner circle who are willing to like help me out, who are on those on those industry.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Now that you are in LA too, I'm curious to hear if it's a little bit easier for you and more beneficial because you have direct access to like the fashion district or a lot of like other garment producers who are located in LA versus being in San Diego. I'm not really sure how the scene is out there as far as like getting your resources, but is it a lot easier for you now that you're out in LA?
Oh yeah, most definitely. I live like 5 minutes away from the garment district. And then my clients can just come into my house and it's so much more easier than me driving back and forth and then looking or staying in an Airbnb and then them coming to an Airbnb, and it's just draining.
Yeah. That 2-hour drive can probably get a little bit crazy, huh?
Yeah. Well, now it's okay. It's like a 2-hour drive, but before it was like 4-hour.
Oh,
five
yeah.
It was 5 hours because of the traffic.
Because of traffic.
Yeah.
Traffic gets crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that, I mean, LA has a lot of resources, so.
Yeah, and it's direct too, so you could like handle things in person rather than having to do it like via the internet or by phone, huh?
Yeah, and like with LA too, I've met like a lot of textile warehouses already, so I've been like negotiating with them. Like now I'm building a relationship with them so that once my garment production company or I opened up my warehouse in San Diego, I'm able to have them produce all of my textile and fabrics, so it'll be easier.
Got it. Yeah. So when you're how many hours do you think you put in a day, like with designing these days?
Whenever I wake up to sleep. I don't know. I was like,
That's a blessing though. You don't have like a set schedule for yourself.
I don't. I mean, as long as like I'm in a good mental headspace, then I'm working throughout the day. But if not, then I would just take a break and just like step back.
And that's the good part about being your own boss and working for yourself, because you don't have pressures of somebody like saying, no, you need to work right now during these hours, right?
Yeah, unless there's deadlines. Like right now I have like super tight deadlines and I'm just like, I need to be in a good headspace that I cannot be in anyone who is negative or draining or else I cannot work.
Yeah, that's very true. What are some things you do to get in like that good headspace then? Can you control it?
Yeah, so working out, reading a book, and then meditating has helped me a lot.
Yeah.
So I do that every day.
I feel like everybody has their own form of meditation too. And I've definitely started practicing meditation and incorporating in my everyday life as well, and like the impacts of it are crazy. And it helps me when I get in like that state of flow as well too. And there's like this supplement that I started taking here too. It's called the limiter, and it helps me kind of get into that creative flow as well, where like I can just lock in and knock out like a hour of like editing, or when I'm doing a podcast or something, it kind of just helps me lock in and get in like quote unquote the zone. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie Soul.
Yeah.
You seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Where
yeah.
like they have that like flow quote unquote thing where like they're just in the bubble, like they're in the zone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I feel like I operate best when I'm in that state of flow.
Yeah. And you put in 110% of who you are and your energy in it, and it'll show too.
Yeah, it shows in the work, right?
Yeah.
Would you say that like when you're not in a good headspace and maybe you're like forcing yourself to work, do you think that your work suffers, or like your art does too?
Yeah, I wouldn't be satisfied of like the outcome, or I would just second guess myself and doubt myself, and it's just not a good space to be in.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's cool that you can control your kind of process. By practicing these tactics like meditating, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it took me a while.
You did?
It took me a while for sure. Yeah, I've been through like a couple of depression relapse. So like took me a while to get where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I think that's important for people to hear too. You know what I mean? It's not like, cause it's easy for people to just watch this and listen and just be like, oh, she has it down. But no, it wasn't always like that.
No, it was never like, man. But it's also okay to be vulnerable and talk about, you know, what you went through behind closed doors, like what's going on, because maybe someone else is going through that.
Yeah. So with that being said, what were some of those like down points that you had when you were going through like depression, or when you were at like a low?
I wasn't motivated. I just didn't want to do anything, didn't want to deal with life.
Yeah.
It was just being in a dark place. Yeah, but just, you know, losing my grandparents and then losing my dad just really took a toll on me.
Yeah.
So
I could imagine. So I've never lost a parent, but I could imagine the toll that would take on you. And kind of like,
it changes you.
Yeah, does it?
It does.
I can imagine. So, but would you say also that it made you like stronger? You know what I mean? Because you went through something that's as traumatic as that.
Yeah. I mean, day by day, I'm just like going with the flow, but like every time I share my story, someone will always like come up to me or message me and be like, you inspire me. Thank you for, you know, motivating me to keep going. And I was like, well, I'm just being my authentic self.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm just trying to live.
You're just trying to live your life.
Yeah, exactly.
I hear you. I'm curious to hear, like, how your like, COVID quarantine time went, right? Because not too long before that, you kind of started this venture, whether it was, like, a couple years before. So, like, both as, mm-hmm. like, a freelancer and just as, like, your own personal state mm-hmm. of being, like, mm-hmm. how was that whole 2020 for you?
Yeah, well, the whole 2020, pre-COVID, I was so set on moving to L.A. in April, but then COVID hit in, what, beginning of March, and I was in Paris Fashion Week, taking photos in Paris Fashion Week, and then it hit, and then everything was on pause. So through COVID, I felt like it gave me more clarity of what was important in my life, which is putting more work in the community, mm-hmm. And like, I feel like we were all struggling to find like face masks and all yeah. that. And at that time, all I was thinking was like, well, shit, like I sew and I'm really good at what I do. And I'm capable of like making, I don't have 3,000, 4,000 face masks and give it away.
Wow.
So that's what I did. I was like, well, I'm gonna just push all this wanting to design for this person or this artist, and let me just put on for my community real quick because they need me.
Yeah, I love that. And you saw like an opportunity for you to use your gift to help mm-hmm. other people.
Yeah.
And I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was sewing for a lot of hospitals and local people.
Yeah, that's got to feel good when you're able to use your gift and your ability to provide for people that are in need, you know?
Like, yeah.
And
yeah.
not, because it could be easy for you to just be like, well, that's not my problem, you know what I mean? But yeah. it says a lot about the person that you are
yeah.
if you're going out of your way to use your gift to help other people, you know?
Yeah, and giving back has always been me. And, mm-hmm. like, it just feel good. I feel fulfilled and satisfied, and I want to keep feeling that.
Yeah, I love to hear it. From a business standpoint, mm-hmm. during COVID, how did the pandemic affect you from, like,
Man, so I lost my studio, my sewing studio. Yeah, so I signed a lease for like a sewing studio, and then it was beautiful, but then, you know, COVID happened, so I couldn't really get any clients. Can't get any like direct in business in person. Everything was just unknown, so then I lost my sewing studio and had to move all of my sewing stuff in back home. Mm. So that was hard.
Yeah,
I can that imagine. Was really hard. Yeah. But I'm just grateful for an opportunity where I was able to build this creative studios with a collective team in San Diego, and that was where my time was put in during COVID. So
yeah. So that team that's in San Diego, do you still work with them, even though you're in LA now?
Right now, I'm just helping them, like, assist on the creative studio. I kind of stepped back from management because it was, a little too much for me. And I wanted to pour more of my energy into my own craft.
Right.
Rather than pouring my energy to someone else's dream. Because it was beginning to feel like a 9-to-5 job.
Okay. Yeah. So that's yeah. when you kind of like checked out. You're like, all right, I don't want to feel like it's 9-to-5.
Yeah. And I felt like I built a very strong foundation for it already, that it's okay to give the other opportunities for other people too. Yeah,
you're always thinking about other people.
I can't help it. Yeah. That's like the lifestyle that I grew up in, you know. Mm-hmm. My upbringing has always been like that, and my dad showed me. So
that's probably why you get so many blessings then, because you're constantly giving to others or thinking about others. So
yeah,
you just like naturally and organically receive.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but I don't want to think that, oh, if I'm giving back, I'm receiving something. Yeah. I'm giving back because it's what fulfills me.
You don't do it for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
Got you.
Mm-hmm.
now transitioning back towards, like, now we're kind of heading out of COVID, like, fingers crossed.
It seems I know.
I feel like I always get nervous saying it because I'm like, I don't want to jinx it.
Yeah, I'm something. Socially awkward now. Like, if I ever, man, my friend invited me to his birthday and I was just like, so how do I talk to people? I was literally just in a corner. I was like, ooh, this is not good. I'm going to just dip out.
You got to, like, work your way back into it, these social settings. And recently I've been in similar situations where it's not, like, as easy as just jumping back into it. It's different now, you know?
Yeah.
It's a weird dynamic.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's difficult to navigate this type of dynamic because there's no, like, we've never been through this before as, mm-hmm. like, a generation. Mm-hmm. So it's not like there's a rule book on, like, how to do this shit, because when things open up, it's just going to go back to, like, everybody's thrown back into this social realm. But mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish it was just, like, we could slowly, like, let's go.
Get there.
Yeah.
But, know? I mean, I feel like they're opening everything up. I mean, I don't know how LA is, but San Diego's opening up June 15th.
Oh, really?
The whole thing?
The whole shebang. The gas lamp district's about to go crazy.
Yeah. I mean, slowly, we are already doing live concerts. But it's more of like in tables and sittings.
Okay.
So not standing, no standing areas.
Yeah. That's what I'm most excited for is the live shows.
Oh, I thought it was like having your own seat and sitting down at a concert. Nah. I was like, yes, that's sweet. I'd love to have my own space.
That's what you like to have at the concerts or the live shows?
Well, yeah. Unless if it's a festival.
Yeah, because I mean, that makes sense. Shows can get a little bit rowdy.
Yeah.
You know, people throwing elbows and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm pretty old now, so I can't be doing that anymore. My back hurts.
The knees.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm super excited that we are slowly getting out of COVID because the works are starting to come in, like, a lot.
Starting to pick up more
for
you.
Yeah, for me, I'm getting very overwhelmed, but it's okay because now I have a team that can help me out.
And it's always good to have options too, right?
Yeah.
Like, you could always turn down work if you need to.
Yeah, but I don't like turning people down sometimes unless, like, I just really can't do it.
Mm. So with that being said, do you feel like sometimes you might overwork yourself because you don't like turning work down, or do you know, like, a good medium for yourself where it's just like, you know when not to overwork yourself?
Yeah. Right now, I feel that I am overworking myself, but it's okay because I know that it's going to be all worth it. My friends and my family always tell me, like, oh, you don't have time anymore. You're always working. I was like, well, I just want a great career.
Yeah.
And if I put, like, 6 months down, it's just going to put me back ahead, like, at least a few years.
Yeah. So. And you know that because of how you grew up, right? With the rough beginnings, you know that, like, what it's like to be at the bottom and to be and to be down. So it's like you don't ever want to kind of go there, and you know what it takes to get out of it because you're living proof of it, right?
Yeah. And especially, like, now, again, putting on for more people.
Yeah. There you go.
I feel that if I stop, like, I would just, like, miss a chance to just get my foot in, and I wouldn't be able to create more opportunities for my people. So
yeah, do you feel like a sense of momentum in your career right now too, where it's like things are happening for you, so you want to make sure you don't, like, fumble the bag and you continue to, like, level up?
Yeah, and I feel that every time I take a project, it challenges me to be better at my own craft. So it feels good to see what I'm capable of doing now.
Yeah.
Because if I think back about how I was, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing now.
That's very true. But with that being said, it's got to be exciting because, I mean, I'm not sure how old you are. I'm not gonna, like, out you on how old you are, but, like, you have a lot of, like, creating left to do in your life. Like, there's no rule book saying when you need to retire as a designer, photographer, creative. You can be doing this So you're like 60 or whatever old, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there is no rule of like, not even retiring, but there's no rule when you're starting. Mm-hmm. You could be 45 and you want to start your own brand. Sure. Like, if that one's, that's what inspires you, do it. If that what makes you happy, do it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like the rule and time is just created to just make you feel insecure and doubt yourself.
Yeah. And also, too, it's amplified by social media. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because sometimes you see even somebody who's younger than you killing it, and it can make you get in your feelings. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, everybody's journey is different. You can't focus on somebody else's.
Yeah, yeah. That's like one of the things too. Like if you are one of the kids out there who are like tuning in now, like don't ever like compare yourself, because you are not competing against nobody. You're only competing against yourself.
Yeah.
And again, it's your journey and not someone else's. But, I mean, it's hard now because social media is just, like, right there in your face. But, I mean, find a way to just, you know, separate yourself, that you're just in your own lane.
Yeah, and it's so difficult to do with social media. But, like you said, the you never know what, like, somebody else went through to get that opportunity, or, like, maybe they met somebody, or what caused them to have the success that they have.
Mm-hmm.
But it's such a dangerous thing to compare yourself to other people, and it's hard to say. Like I fall into doing that a lot myself. Everybody does.
Yeah.
But when you start doing that, it really like harms both your mental health, and then also could even make some people quit. Like some people just quit because they see somebody else doing something, and like they
like
may
how
think,
successful they are doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just feel like you need to take a look in your own look in the mirror and figure out why you're doing it. You know what I mean? Because why you're doing it, your why can quickly expose like whether or not you love something. Like if you truly love it because you love doing it, somebody else's success shouldn't matter to you, right? Yeah. Because you're doing it for yourself. But if you're doing it for the clout or for the fame, then could quickly get exposed.
Then you're doing it for the wrong things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that could quickly get exposed because it could be a lot easier for you to quit because you're not getting what you want fast enough, you know? But if you truly love it and it's your passion, it's like you're willing to put in years and years and years to do it, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then just doing everything with intention too and purpose, like it'll show, and you'll gain more of like long-lasting supporters than just like people who just like the trends.
Yeah, you know, definitely.
Yeah.
For you being in an industry that has, that's kind of so like forward thinking, what do you, where do you draw your inspiration from? Like if you, if you're working on something that may be like more futuristic or something like that, like do you, are you trying to like stay ahead of the trend, or like does that not matter to you as much?
It doesn't. I just like being in the present moment and just like thinking of what's here right now rather than like looking ahead, because that kind of like makes me feel anxious about things.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, say for something futuristic and all that, I don't really look into that because that could get into like a trend. And
I
if it's someone, a client of mine wants like something futuristic, of course I would do my research on it.
Right.
And maybe watch Back to the Future. But that's it.
Well, I meant, what I meant by that, like futuristic, was just kind of like, I feel like everybody's always trying to like be, stay ahead of the trend, especially with fashion. You know what I mean? Somebody always wants to like be first on something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I didn't know if there was like a specific method that you had of like doing that, but you just want to focus on the present, right?
Yeah. And I just want to keep creating things and see what's the thing is about fashion. It's not even about trend. It's about style. Mm. And fashion is also has been recycled over and over and over, and people don't get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You always see things coming back into style, right?
Yeah. And like people think, oh, I've done this, like it's, I'm the first to do this. I was like, nah, you just recycled it.
Yeah.
And we deconstruct it and construct it again.
History repeats itself very often. And you even see that in other mediums, whether it's with film.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, now it's obviously more popular, but like in the past years, it started to become something that's like everybody wants film now. And you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. But like, no disrespect though, you know?
Yeah.
But
I love film.
Oh, I love film too. You know, I still shoot on film, so it's okay.
There's nothing like developing a role
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And having, like, a tangible...
Did you feel more satisfied once that, like, role is developed?
Yeah, for sure. And also, too, it's, like, sometimes I'll like, shoot a role that's, like, takes, like... place in different times of my life, like, mm-hmm. and then 3 months later I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, I forgot that happened, or
yeah.
you know what I mean, because you don't know yeah. what it's gonna look like, and it's just the different, it's like the experience almost that makes yeah. film so dope.
Yeah, I that's the like. Beauty of a photography too, why I fell in love in photography is because, like, you take a certain photo and you kind of like time travel
yeah.
to it, and like you feel all the emotion that felt, or like how it was at that time, and it takes you back. And yeah. I just love that about photography.
Very well said. Yeah, like the emotions that an image can evoke mm-hmm. are timeless. And the same thing kind of works how like music works, right? Mm-hmm. Like how a song can make mm-hmm. you feel a certain way mm-hmm. when you first heard that song back in that time. You know what
yeah.
I mean? It just brings you back. And I feel like images do the same thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It inspires me a lot. So,
yeah. yeah. What do you do when you're getting in like a creative block, almost like? You're not feeling really inspired mm-hmm. Creatively, whether it's for designing or any of the other mediums. Do mm-hmm. you, are there things that you do outside of creative arts to kind of like inspire yourself or just mm-hmm. like get out of your own head?
Yeah, I step back for sure. And then I used to travel, but we can't travel right yeah. now. So what I do now is just like be with nature, be at the beach, or hang out with my family. Because mm. I don't get that too often now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like this whole COVID thing, it kind of made me realize what else can I do besides traveling.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the traveling part is tough, especially for a creative like yourself or even me.
Yeah. And like all the museums are closed too, so it's like, man, like where can I get inspirations from? But there's yeah. books that you can read that makes you imagine things or daydream about things. So
yeah, you just gotta get creative with where you draw your inspiration from, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah. what do you, are there any like goals or like new heights that you want to reach for yourself as a creative or as a designer?
My goal is to being able to provide or make enough income from like designing so that I can build a school back home.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Like I get it something
you're
else.
Like LeBron James. You're trying to build a high promise school.
Yeah, well, I want to build a resort, and then that resort will, you know, create a streams of income to build a school.
So okay.
Yeah. I just don't want to stay in like designing clothes. I want to do interior designing too.
Wow, that's awesome.
Back, like architecture.
Have you ever kind of tapped into that yet, or is that something you want to get more into later?
I was going to start last year, but then COVID happened, so then it's kind of like I had to step back.
Mm-hmm.
And then yeah, probably in like 2 years or 3 years, depending on where I'm at.
You want that resort to be in like the Philippines or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I invested on a land.
Oh wow.
Yeah, in the Philippines. You gotta invest in your own because you never know when this all things stops, you know?
Yeah,
it could just end.
That's very true.
Yeah.
And that's the best place to do it is back where you're home, you're pouring, you're recycling your mm-hmm. your success back into the place where you were,
yeah,
you came from. That's so dope.
Yeah, you just gotta have your own.
Mm-hmm.
Where?
That's awesome. I can't, honestly, I can tell you're gonna make it happen, and it's gonna be like probably one of the best like feelings that you'll ever have having mm-hmm. a school
mm-hmm.
in the Philippines.
Yeah, you should come. I mean, whenever it's built.
Yeah, I'd love to visit it, honestly. Yeah, let me know. I'll have to see it.
Yeah.
Cool. So where can people follow you if they want to follow more of your journey or they want to check out more of your work?
Yeah, my platform right now is, well, just I only have an Instagram, which is at wariza.co. Same thing with my website, wariza.co. It's under construction right now since we are transitioning from a designer brand to a garment production. So yeah, that'll be finished next week.
Next week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Keep
yeah.
on the lookout next week.
Yeah.
Awesome. Before we hop off here, I just wanted to ask you, like, because one of the mottos of Ambiance is just like, do what you love, do what makes you happy. So mm-hmm. what is it that you love and that makes you happy?
What is it that I love and makes me happy? I love creating, and I just love telling my story or someone else's story, because all of our story matters. And that's what I love. And I'm gonna keep doing it.
Awesome. Yeah. I love to hear it. We'll end on that. Do what you love. Always do what you love. Never quit. And on that, we're gonna end it. From Ambiance, this is Levi, Riza.
Hi.
We out. Peace.